Okay, Google, find me a podcast about War Machine and Hordes, please.
All right, I have a podcast ready to go. Let's start with Tangential with Sung Su.
Okay, Google, do you have any more information about the podcast?
It's a War Machine and Hordes podcast whose goal is to educate, inspire, and entertain.
Okay, Google, play Tangential with Sung Su.
Today, we have the incredible Gonzo. Like Prince, he only has one name. We talk about his own produced content. We talk about playing it painted, his journey into more competitive play, and his involvement with War Machine Weekend and how that convention's grown. I had a ton of fun recording this conversation and just talking with my friend. So without further ado, here's that conversation. All right, on the line now, we have the jack of all trades, a man who always plays it painted, doesn't have time for outlines, and has no fucking idea what a filter is, Gonzo. Gonzo, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. How you doing? I like the no filtered, but I have played without painted. Sad to say.
Oh, man. I'm disappointed. My whole foundation of you was ruined.
Oh, yeah. I have been doing it, but getting more into the painted part because I have to and I want to and I just, you know, need to. But yeah, I have played non-painted before. Shattered your image. You can cry now.
We have. We can maybe stop this podcast right now. But
shit. I'll just go and drink.
So Gonzo, I mean, I know you for your amazing multi-platform content from More Than Dice. But for those of you who aren't too familiar with you, could you take a few minutes and just introduce yourself?
Well, I started playing. I'm an old man. I started playing back when miniature games, you know, D&D, the original D&D came out. And of course, you were like, let's put miniature on the table and just progress from there and started going from the small games up to the large games, you know, from 40K fantasy. You name it. I actually quit playing 40K for a bit and heard about War Machine and Hordes when it came out. Back when all we had were battle boxes. You know, we had Merc battle boxes back then. And we had no troops. So I've been playing War Machine probably about 15 years, I guess. Been playing miniature games ever since. Go to a lot of conventions. Of course, you mentioned More Than Dice, which is the podcast I help run. My team, which they're the really inspiration because Kathy Wepple's an amazing painter and John Spencer's just a great guy. So fun to be around, so fun to do things. Kathy with her patron stuff that she helps us with. She's amazing. I can't do this without those two guys. They're the real heroes. I just do all the back work.
Yeah, my first battle box was actually the Gorton battle box. It sounds like we started around the same time.
Oh, you gotta get
that battle box back in production.
I can't believe they haven't done, you know, Merc battle boxes again. I mean, people are like, of course, you have to go buy the single models, but still.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you call More Than Dice a podcast, but it's more than a podcast. I mean, you guys put out videos, you put out some written content. It's a lot of different things. And yeah, Kathy makes me feel bad about my own painting on a regular basis. As nicely as possible, though. Yes. She's like, look at this model. I painted in 3 hours. I'm like, oh, that's fucking amazing.
She's amazing. Because originally, for the people that had been around us, and yes, we started out as a podcast and branch out even bigger. We had Seth Watkins on there, but he couldn't keep up. He was moving, doing a lot of family stuff, and he just couldn't do it. And so we missed that guy. He was one of our original members. So I recruited Kathy and kind of stalked her and watched her and asked her to come on the podcast. But yeah, we do cover a lot. Because when we decided, because we're an offshoot of Painting with Minoch John, whenever he shut down, John and I decided to do one. And we decided that we wanted to do a podcast, but we didn't want to do a battle report podcast. So we didn't want to talk about lists because everybody does that. There's plenty of other people that are out there that do that and much better than what we would. So we decided to take all aspects of the gaming, the role playing, the painting, you know, cons, conventions, everything. So, I mean, we talk about almost any miniature game out there, mostly when we talk about role-playing games, which is what the Sunday is going to be because it's my birthday. Hey. I'll really be old. And then I recruited Kathy, and I wanted someone that was a really good painter, had a really good personality, and she's awesome. Her style is incredible. She can paint really well. She likes to talk. I mean, so when she's doing her Twitch, it's amazing to watch her do it. And I'm still astounded by, you did that in 3 days? Shit.
I'm a tabletop painter at best. She does a great job of breaking it down so I can digest it, if that makes sense. A lot of the high-end painters I watch, they're like, you do this. And I'm like, you've used 8 terms I'm not familiar with. And okay, cool. So yes. I think she does a wonderful job of making it approachable. So where can we find this content? You mentioned a Twitch stream. I know you're on YouTube. What's the easiest way to keep up with that?
Easiest way really is to keep is watch us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, because we post everything to there. And we do have a Twitch channel, which we do, you know, we don't quote unquote podcast that we do on Sunday. We don't edit it at all. We don't, you know, pre-record it. We do it all in front of live because we're weirdos. That's every Sunday, mostly every Sunday, because sometimes they don't do it because I have to go to cons or someone has to do something. We do repost it over on YouTube. We do have a Patreon account, which I think is one of the coolest things about all this. Those are the people, those are our real, you know, we humble down to those fans because they keep us running. They help pay our bills and let us provide really good content. And they have, we have some really good rewards. And if you really want to learn from a good painter, patrons are our site, because Kathy does private lessons through our patron. So she's really good. John is my creative guy that just, he does a lot more than people think. Because he will provide extra content, his minis and movies. He does a mini podcast for our podcast. Yeah, he does what's called minis and movies. And it's he talks about some type of mini aspect. Like lately he's been talking about his Armada League. But we'll talk about, he'll just talk about different subjects of mini gaming. And then he'll do a in-depth review of a movie, which we also do on the podcast. But it's more a smaller broadcast at the very end. It's kind of our homage to him because he's a huge movie guy. I also do a role-playing session, usually every other Wednesday, but sometimes we have to skip a week or break it down a little bit. Excuse me, the beer's a little strong. I run a Force and Destiny game, and we put that up there also. So yeah, we try to provide a crap ton of content for people all over the place just because we're nerds. We like giving it away.
That's on Facebook at More Than Dice Podcast for anyone looking for it. And like I said earlier, they really do cover a really wide array of things. And one of the things I found beneficial about it is there's so many things, it's hard for me to keep up with everything. But between the three of you, it feels like you've kind of got the temperature, at least everything that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Kathy has a lot of the hobby stuff with that and everything. And since she's connected with Adepticon, she knows a lot of other people that are good painters. John's got the really good casual part of it. And I try to take all the convention and tournament scene. I'm not that great of a tournament player, but I know a lot of the tournament players, and so I just try to keep hold of that scene of rules and stuff going on. But yeah, Facebook is the easiest way to get hold of us. You can always find us and leave in a message, and we're always looking for new content, because I also do reviews of RPGs, which I got one coming up for the new Dresden File RPG they got coming out. And so that's something we like to do also. Just, hey, if you want something reviewed or something you want done, let us know. I'll go buy it, pick it up, play it, see what's going on. Because we also do like a state of the game, which is we're going to be doing a poll this week of state of the game. What do you want us to review? The state of whatever game. Because we did a state of the game of War Machine recently, and that was really cool. So definitely see us on Facebook.
Not to go on a tangent, but I love the Dresden Fate system. I hope they don't ruin it too much. So
I played the Dresden Fate system when it first came out, the big old 3-book one. And recently I went to a tournament and got some store credit. And so I picked up the Dresden Fate System Accelerated. And so I've got an idea what it is, but I want to see how they changed it to the accelerated version.
Absolutely. I look forward to that coming out. So before we ever met, I stopped and I stared at your army. It's gorgeous. So let's start. How did someone go from being all primed to being all painted?
Time. I'm going to say it right now. Just time. There's a reason why I chose, and I'm guessing you're talking about my Grimkin, because that's what I'm playing a lot now.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at my Grimkin, and it says, I'm just not going to have enough time. I'm a full-time, I work full-time as a teacher. I do special ed, so, I mean, I've got very little time on the afternoons. And so I tried to figure out a paint scheme, and I was like, I need to find something quick and easy. And I was like, oh, well, I can do this colored black and white quick paint scheme for Grimkin, because one, it fits Grimkin, because of their style and aesthetic, and two, I thought it would be easy and quick. It was neither easy nor was it quick. because of the process of, because I do there's the GW Crackle paint, what is it, whatever Crackle paint that you put on the bases, I can't remember the name of it, and I put that on there. You gotta let that dry. Once that dry, then you prime it, and then you paint it a dark gray, dry brush it, three different shades of lighter gray, then dry brush it, one shade of an off-white, then ink it to get the recesses back in it, and then dry brush it two different shades of white with a higher white on the very top. I have never dry brushed this much model and this many times and that long in my entire life. Doing 20 dread rots and trying to get everything, because my Grimkin army is still not fully painted, is such a pain in the butt. I'm not looking forward to doing Old Witch because I'm going to be really stupid and do her a little different. But it's a lot of just dry brushing and just sitting there monotonous, just rubbing the brush over the model until that white stands out. And then after it stands out, adding that little splash of color to it to differentiate the units. Because that's what I did it for. It's just to do it. Put the color on there just so I could tell, oh, okay, now I don't have to look for the dots on the model. I can look for the yellow and orange when I play the game, or my opponent.
It looks really stunning on the table, and that's a great way to do it. So when you were picking a paint scheme, you were trying to keep one of – you looked at the scope, right? You're like, I have a ton of Grimkin to paint. Mm-hmm. And you were trying to pick a scheme that you thought would be easy to replicate. And while this one wasn't necessarily as quick as you thought, but you were trying to find something that you would be happy with that you could churn out quickly. Does that sound right?
Pretty much, because, I mean, like I said, I don't have a lot of time, although I do stay up a lot, and it's just a lot of models. And so, yeah, I was trying to find something that was quick and easy, and I thought it was going to be quick, and it didn't because of the way that you have to highlight it up. It's not hard, it's just tedious, I guess, best way to put it, because you're just sitting there dry brushing and dry brushing and dry brushing until it gets up to where you need it.
Yeah, so how do you combat burnout? I'm pretty sure you had over 70 Grimkin models on your tray, plus a custom of why not? Like, do you take breaks to paint other things, or like, are you literally just plowing these out?
I literally was just plowing them out. I found out it took me forever to finally do it. But what I decided to do is since our podcast streams on Twitch on Sundays, I decided, why don't I just stream myself painting? I can listen to music, talk to other people. Because at first I was listening to audiobooks while I was doing it. And I would shut myself in my hobby room, close the door, listen to an audiobook. And I was like, okay, I'm kind of out of audiobooks and I kind of want to talk to people while I'm painting. So I started twitching. And it's amazing how many people like to watch other people paint miniatures and talk with them and BS. It's crazy. And so I found that doing something with somebody, but not making me stop what I'm doing, was what was needed. I started making music, making mini games for people to play, just chit-chatting with people while I'm painting was the best thing ever for me. I'm not a great painter. I'm not going to go there. I do have a good time, drink a lot, listen to cool music. I do sing while I twitch, so it's kind of funny, but I have a good time with it. And I think that's what it is you got to find something. Some people can't paint unless they're just directly focused on it. I can't do that. My ADD does not let me sit there and just concentrate on one model. So I've got to do something while I'm doing it. And I can't paint and watch TV. There's no way. So I started listening to audiobooks, and I went from audiobooks to twitching, which has been amazingly fun. So that's, I mean, what I have to do is I have to do something while I'm doing it.
No, that makes perfect sense. I guess what you said, right? You have to find the space that works best for you. For me, I listen to podcasts actually while I paint, and I find that great. I know a lot of people have like local painting groups. Have you ever messed around with those?
I've never done that before. I know that Kathy had talked about that because we did an episode about painting. And she remembers going to what was the Battle Bunker back when GW had the Battle Bunker around her. And they would get together as a group. And she found that she painted really well when she was with a group of other painters. And she had a good time doing that. And, you know, since she's a commissioned painter, she has a deadline. So kind of pushing yourself is going with that. And she found that doing it while twitching is helping her paint even better because it's keeping her on task. I've put models together with people, but I've never painted with other people.
Yeah, for me, I always found the risk of public shame if I didn't get painting done in the week before the next public painting session worked really well for me. So if you had to guess, like, how long did it take you to paint your Grimkin to the point you're at now?
Geez, I have no clue. It's days. Definitely days and hours. I would say probably it probably took me
80 hours, you think? 2 weeks of full work?
Probably 2 weeks of full work. Because I mean there was so much time I had to do it in. Because, you know, the GW crackle paint that's on the bottom, I have to wait for that to dry and crackle. Then I have to prime it all. And then just getting it all done. There's just, I mean, I play it, you know, my heretic list is a huge troop burden. I mean, it's 2 units of Dreadrots, you know, 2 units of Naysayers, 2 units of almost everything out there. And so it's just a crap ton of models.
Absolutely. So do you have a hobby streak? I think you do.
I tried doing a hobby streak and I keep on failing it. I keep on trying and I'm like, all right, hobby streak, yay. And I'm like, well, I got too drunk tonight, guys. Back to day one.
I do want to point out that it is noon when we're recording and Gonzo has at least drank how many beers now?
I'm on my first one, but it is a good Rasputin, which is a good old, you know, dart beer. I like my beer like sex in a canoe. You ever heard that one?
No, I have not. Go ahead.
You see, it's like I don't like American beers because it's like having sex in a canoe fucking close to water. And so I like dark head beers.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I've been great at starting.
That's the way I like my beers.
Hobby streaks, but I've never been able to keep on one. Sounds like you haven't either. It's just for those of you who don't know, hobby streak is like you take a picture or you post something with a hobby streak day and you're like, oh, I played a game today, hobby streak one. Tomorrow I'm going to paint hobby streak mm-hmm. two. And I get them to about 2 weeks and then ultimately something comes up. But basically, yeah. Somehow you need to find a way to stay diligent, buckle down and really grind the paint out, right?
Well, I mean, now, John is my hobby streak man. I think he's up to like day 200 or something. I mean, or whatever. He has not missed a day since the hobby streak phase fad started, I guess, whatever you want to call it. And he always posts because there is a Facebook page for hobby streaking to help keep motivated. Everybody ask questions and stuff. Nonstop hobbying. He says he wants to make it 360.
That would be impressive. I no way with my – I have three children. I'm just not going to hit that personally. But no. I think – but basically what Gonzo and I are both saying, though, is we've got to find some way to keep yourself motivated and paint. Whether that's going to be just like you have the willpower to muckle down and do it, a little bit of public shaming, maybe with painting with some of your buddies. Sometimes, honestly, painting with a deadline in mind for me is fantastic. I was making great headway when I thought Muse on Mini's Champions event was going to be fully painted.
Oh yeah!
And as soon as they dropped that painting requirement, I slowed down a lot. So just find a goal, try to set it, try to stay diligent on them, get a paint scheme that's easy to replicate, something you enjoy doing. And like I said, find your Zen place, right? For me, it's podcasts. Gonzo loves streaming on Twitch. I mean, find the place that you think you're going to produce the best work and stay on it, right?
Yeah. You mentioned having fully painted for, conventions. I like to be fully painted for conventions. Local stuff, I'm not worried about it. But when I go to a big convention, and since like Adepticon requires fully painting, that's a really big motivator if you want to go and you want to play some games. So, I mean, that's a good thing. But it's finding that, and like I said, that Zen moment. You can sit there and just chill and just do it where it doesn't feel like it's a chore. Like my bane is painting units. I hate painting units because it's so repetitive.
I've never met someone that is excited about painting units.
Oh, no. Because it's so repetitive. You're just like, all right, stage one done on this one. Let's go to stage one on this one. And you're just like, you know, trying to push them all through. There's a reason why a lot of people pay people to paint armies.
That's very, very fair. So Gonzo, you mentioned it before. This year in 2018, when I check your feed, it seems like you're never home. You're always at an event this year. So what's changed this year? And how many larger events have you been to?
Well, what changed this year? There was a friend of mine that long time ago, a couple of years ago, her and I were talking and she was like, you know, why don't you start going to more events? You've got a decent grasp of the game. You could probably get better. She passed away and I made it a personal thing to do that. So whenever I did that, I decided that this is what is going to be my get good year. I didn't really, you know, push myself to it, but I was like, I think I'm going to try to get into the National at War Machine Weekend. I went and looked at all the events and there's a ton that are near me. I think it's like up to 13 type of events around me that are either points or qualifiers. And I decided just to do it. Last year, I only went to like three qualifiers and I got pretty decent on my points. So I was like, no, I'm going to try to go for it this time. And I've even been surprising myself because at MomCon, I got into the top eight. I was like, cool, I'm ready to go. Let's do it. And then I got to the final with Tim Banky and I was like, shit, I'm doing something right. I don't know what it is, but I also think it's also because of the army I'm playing. I've tried almost everything out there, but Grimkin just fits me. I hate playing a game where I have to wait around to do my turn. And Grimkin doesn't let me do that. So and that's also helped me play it. I'm hitting 13 qualifying points events this year? 11 to 13. I can't remember. And all I did was I sat down and I looked at them and wrote them down and says, okay, this one's a 4-hour drive. I can do that as a day trip. Drive down really early, go to the event, come back because it's a point event or it's just a 1-day qualifier. I'm like, okay, well, I help run this convention. I help, you know, run this one. I'm going to go to those anyway, so I'll be there for that one. All right, Adepticon. We're all going to Adepticon. That one's then. And then I started thinking about, you know, how much is it going to cost me? So I just put out on Facebook, who's all going to this con? I will help share a room. So a lot of it is sharing rooms with people so I can afford it. And that's the thing, is just going and doing it. I don't consider myself a great player. I consider myself a good player, but I like competitive play because it's, to me, it's fun. It's a challenge, but I don't mill over stuff 100% or get really crazy with the list. I go, this works for me. I'm going with this.
No, and I think that's a great approach. And I think a lot of people are afraid to go to these kind of larger events or national events because like, well, I'm just an okay player. But honestly, you're never going to know where you rank up until you get out there. And at the end of the day, like if all that happens is you go out and you pay some money and you play a bunch of games of War Machine, that's still a pretty great weekend.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think people maybe need to be less focused on did I win or lose the event and more focused on, well, how did I do on the event? Did I learn anything and what did I take away from that?
100%.
Which I think is a great attitude. I mean, you were super stoked when you got third place at MuseCon, right?
Oh, yeah, I got third.
Yeah, and you were stoked. And
I was like, yeah.
Yeah. And so many other people I think would have been bummed. And I don't understand that mindset. You play well, results will be what they do. So for all those people that have never made it to a larger event, what kind of pieces of advice do you have for them, Gonzo?
Drink lots of water. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you go to a large convention, make sure you eat, bring snacks, drink lots of water, and bathe. It's the trifecta of stuff or whatever you want to call it. And go and have fun. I like going to a convention not only for the friends, because I know a lot of people there, but I like seeing what other people play. You're not going to get, and this sounds kind of stupid, you're not going to get better at the game if all you're doing is playing the guys at your store or your local stuff. You've got to see what everybody else is doing. You've got to see the different lists. I just came back from NashCon and was not fully prepared for NashCon. Played 9 games, and 7 of them were against Madrak 1 Band of Heroes list. And so, oh, no, not 6. 6 out of the 9. Then I fought Krix, Minoth, and Signar. And so I was not prepared because I'd played against Banky, which I have to thank him for getting everybody else to play Trollbloods because that's all the list I see now.
He does wag the dog.
Yes, he does. And doing that, I was able to, I knew what I was looking into, but going into it, it was really different. So, you know, I was like, okay, got to drop this list. It was like, glad there's no DNC on this event because there was only dropping that. But I mean, it was, you've got to get out and go do it and see what everyone else is playing. See some of the cool, janky, you know, weird stuff people are doing. And if you don't win, don't worry about it. It's a game. If you win, good. If you don't win, learn from it, figure it out, do something different. Make sure you play a lot of people, especially if you don't see every so often. I hate going to, and it's kind of my thing, I hate going to my tournaments or going to any tournament and playing the guy that I drove up with. You're just like, dang it.
Yeah, nobody likes that.
I mean, it happens. You can't complain about it. But I mean, I like going to large conventions and seeing things and doing things and meeting with people. Find out what they're doing with their life besides War Machine and Hordes, too. One of the things I like doing, and we're going to be making it a tradition at War Machine Weekend, is a meet and greet on the first day. Tim Benke's with me on this one. Him and I we did it last year, and we decided we're going to do it every year from here on out until, you know, we're done. And what it is, we're all going to get together. We're all going to meet on this back patio, and we're all going to smoke cigars, drink beer, drink bourbon, you know, and socialize, not about the game. Socialize about, hey, what'd you do this year that wasn't this? So it was like, hey, I got a new job. Oh, that's cool. I talked with one guy for like 2 hours. This guy, Pierce, he makes his own mead and makes his own alcohol. And I was like, and he brought it to share with everybody. And I was like, this is good shit. Tim Benke brought a bunch of Sword of Liege and brought different varieties and talked about it. And we drank it. And it was just great social event. Don't forget that this is, you know, the cons, you go there to play the tournaments, but they're people. They have lives outside of this. Okay, some of them do. But they have lives that they can do you know, other things. So get to know your fellow gamers. Get to know what makes them happy, you know. It was one thing I like about the War Machine and Hordes community. Something happens to a player in the War Machine in the Hordes community, we all band together and help out. We all look after each other. We're like, hey, I got a flat tire. Jet, I'll come get you. It's an hour and a half away. So I'll come get you.
Yeah, I, for fear of sounding like a broken record, the best thing about, because I've just started traveling to national events again in 2018, and by far the best part about traveling has been the people. Even just, I know it sounds silly, the board games after the day is done is super enjoyable, talking to people, grabbing a bite with people. But yeah, I think what you said is great. People just need to kind of get out there and go. And if you're nervous about going to your first convention, you know, go with a few people, you know, take a few in your car ride. I hope you don't play them. Or just reach out online. I've posted on Facebook a few times. Hey guys, I'm going to this convention. Who else is going to be there? Mm-hmm. And I kind of make plans a little bit ahead of time so I kind of know who I'm going to run into there. So you touched on War Machine Weekend, and I can't really talk about events without talking about War Machine Weekend and Midwest Miniature Madness. Would you take a second and talk about your involvement in both of those?
I started working on M3 back when it was part of Daikon a couple of years ago and started being part of the team. I really haven't done a lot this year with them because I've been going to a lot of conventions, but I help on the War Machine and Hordes part. And if I can't help, I always try to find someone that can help us with it because AK runs the War Machine and Hordes part. Do it. It used to be part of Daikon. And then Lock and Load happened at the same weekend as it, and it just started, you know, transitioned differently. And eventually we had to come down to the name of M3. And it's a smaller con. It always happens during Lock and Load, no matter what weekend we choose, which is kind of a running joke between us. We help provide prize support. It's kind of like, okay, you can't go to Lock and Load? Come see us. Come, you know, join on doing things that are, you know, miniature-based and game-based, but you can't make it to Lock and Load. It is a qualifying tournament for Machine Hordes, but we also have Age of Sigmar, X-Wing, I think we're doing Destiny.
Get some Infinity out there and Guild Ball. A called shot. This podcast should be dropping on the 18th of June. And Midwest Miniature Madness starts on the 22nd, runs through the 24th. Same weekend as Lock and Load. And I actually just reached out to them. They still have tickets available. So if you do want another chance at that War Machine Weekend points, or even honestly, it is a full qualifier, definitely check them out. You can find them on Facebook, Midwest Miniature Madness. I'm actually going to head out there. We were talking about it, and I'm going to make the trip, so I'll be out there Thursday night, Gonzo, so I'll see you Friday across the table.
I will actually be there Thursday early because I'm going to, of course, help set up and do some other things. And just for people to know, it is not just a standard qualifier. You have to get the top four in the two events on Friday and Saturday, and then you can be in the qualifier. So just to help spread out events and let a lot of people play. So if you're looking forward to that, and also we'll have a ton of sponsors, and usually have really, really good, not only prize support, but giveaways. I know I'm bringing a bunch of things for myself there. So it's just a lot of fun, and it's a smaller, but good. It's a good con. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a really cool format just to highlight what Gonzo just said there. Friday, you play in a steamroller that cuts at top four. If you're in the top four, you get to play Sunday in the finals. Saturday, if you didn't do well, you've got a second chance. Play in another steamroller, top four from there into Sunday. Sunday rolls around, you've got eight people, nice short three-round event with a chance to win your way to War Machine Weekend.
Yep.
Speaking of War Machine Weekend, how are you involved there, Gonzo? I know you've got your hands in a lot of pots. What do you do over there?
Well, I guess I need to say a little bit about War Machine Weekend before I say how I got into it. I started going to War Machine Weekend when it was War Machine Weekend 2, and we were excited to have like 50 people. I messaged Carl a long time ago. I said, hey, y'all are still doing this? Like, yeah, we're going to do it next month. And we were like, cool, I'm going to be there because it sounds like a really good time. And I went there, and they were like, sweet, we have like, you know, 75 people. This is amazing. This is the biggest con ever. It's amazing how the conventions, that's where I met some of my best friends. Chris Johnson, aka Explosivo, and Carl Morgan, two of the guys that are my brothers for the most part. And then I had to drop off for a little bit before Mission Hordes, and I came back and I was like, all right, doing this. And then I was like, Carl, what can I do to help? And I just started showing up at the convention to help out. And then I got asked to be on the team to do stuff. And there's not really like key roles in it. It's like, what do you think we should do for this? And I go, well, I think we need to have You know, we last year was the no theme theme, the no theme tournament, because themes, nobody, when we decided on that, not everybody had their themes out yet. And so we were like, all right, nobody has their, not everybody has their theme, so we'll have a non theme tournament. And then, of course, PP brought our race themes out. We're like, damn it, PP. So it was a smaller event, but we always run scrambles. And so we're always trying to find things. And I run, I handle Colossal Wrestling and the Old Man Tournament, which if you don't know what the Old Man Tournament, you have to be 40 years or older. It is pretty much just nothing but a bunch of old people drinking alcohol and playing games with stupid things to do. Because it's not about who wins, who collects the most points. It's kind of like a Who's the Boss event, but I added my own flair, which Pagani, I'm sure, was kind of annoyed at me at one time, because one of the objectives on the sheet of paper was find Pagani and tell him he looks good in a pair of tights and get him to sign it. And then you could get 2 points towards your win. There were stupid things like if you knock someone off the flag or the objective and you yell, get off my lawn, you get an extra bonus point. You know, and it was just silly stuff like that. And so I kind of handle kind of the relaxed, fun stuff that, you know, because of Colossal Wrestling. You can't be super serious about Colossal Wrestling. It's just about, you know, beating each other up. And that was a bigger hit than I thought it was going to be, because after we started, everybody was, you know, going crazy for it. And it was like, can I see the rules? I'm like, yes, here's the rules. And they're like, well, can we do this? I'm like, well, we've already started, but if you would like to, I'll set you up a table and you can play with your friend over here. But you can't be in the tournament. So I kind of handle some of that, kind of look at who gets qualifiers on the team of deciding. I also go to as many as I can so I can kind of report, because if you're not a qualifier in your points event, I like to see how you do it. That way next year, if you try to put in for a qualifier, I can go, yeah, they did really good. Let's give them a chance. Or no, they had 4 people show up for a points event and their tables were horrible, or which we hope no one does. We want everybody to have good events.
Yeah, so real quickly, I think a lot of people think War Machine Weekend and they think the Invitational. They think of this very serious, honestly, kind of prestigious. That's essentially the end of the con season, and it's a lot of people's goals, right? But there's a lot of War Machine Correct. Weekend for those people who aren't the consummate tryhard. There's a lot of side things to do. There's a lot of socializing, and there's a lot of fun side events. So I do really encourage you, if you haven't been to War Machine Weekend, I know whenever we talk about it on most podcasts, on Facebook, we just talk about the Invitational. There's a lot more to it than that, and I really strongly encourage people to make it out to that. It's an incredibly inspiring convention, if nothing else.
War Machine Weekend, and I hear this from a lot of people, because I'll pull, you know, like Bubba Dalton that came on and did something for War Machine Weekend, put something on the podcast. And, you know, people, they're like, this is the one convention I do not miss of War Machine and Hordes, because it is a family atmosphere. We all get together, we all do things, we all play stupid stuff. Besides the Invitational, we have, you know, we got the LCQ, which is part of the Invitational, but we also have team tournaments. We also have the Scrambles, which my friend Erica ran. It was her first event. She ran like a 64 person scramble with a couple of people helping her out, which was amazing. If you don't know what Scramble is, it's an 8-man tournament, and so it's quick and easy, so if you're in the middle of something or whatever, you can get into it. Colossal Wrestling, the Old Man Tournament. I'm trying to push for a 100-point tournament, dual caster event, because we haven't had one of those in a while, where it's one player with double the casters, which I think would be super, super fun to play, especially since I play Grimkin and Double Arcana sounds so balls broken. Then we've got, I want to push, I've had a lot of people come up during the Old Man Tournament and ask me about doing something for them, and I'm going to pitch a millennial tournament is what I'm going to call it, and do silly stuff like that. Silly stuff from the old man into, like, for example, one of the things I did last year was show me that you take old person medication and you get bonus points. So I'm looking at the millennials going, show me that you can't pay your bills, or, you know, just silly stuff like that, you know, just to get that. Because, yeah, the Invitational is where it's at, but there's so many fun things. I mean, you've got the painting classes, Dallas does stuff, Lauren. From Griffin Roof, Roost does stuff. There's board games at the end of the night. The store. There's just so much to do that people.
Sounds like there's going to be a Cigar and Scotch social.
Oh, there's going to be so much fun things. This is the one convention that I never miss. I do not care. I will walk off my job to go to this tournament if they don't give me the time off. I'll call in sick because this is a tournament that this is my family. These people I've known for 10, 15 years. I know their family. I know their friends. I know their kids. I know their life. I've bled. I've sweat. I've cried. I've done charity work. This is my family. And people should go there thinking that. I mean, also, and don't worry if you're not a great player either and you're just starting out. There's a Young Blood tournament where we monitor to see that, you know, people that are, you know, qualifier winners are not playing in this tournament. It's for people that are brand new to the game and are just learning so they don't get, you know, ganked on 1B or whatever. So there's, I mean, there's so much to do. There's so much to hang out with. I know one, I don't know if they're still doing it, but I know that Dallas used to go to the bar and they would do a paint and drink social, or not paint, a draw and drink social. And they would, everybody would sit at the bar with pen and paper and pencils and just draw and like help each other draw and stuff. Warm Machine Weekend is really about the community getting together. Oh, I forgot a prime example. Glacier King came out. I only had enough money to buy one. I needed two for a list. There was this guy standing in line. He was like, I'll let you borrow mine. I didn't even know the guy at all. And he's like, I'll let you borrow mine. I'm like, I need it tomorrow. He goes, I'll put it together. I'll give it to you in the morning. Just give it back to me at the end of the con. I'm like, okay, that's $100+ model. He put it together, brought it to me in the morning, played it in a tournament. And I held on to it. And he's like, are you still using it? He says, well, I'd like to use it for another one. He's like, okay, just hold on to it. So I held on to this guy's, you know, Glacier King for 2 days. Of course, I gave it back to him, but it was like, that's the type of atmosphere we have. We're there to have a good time and think things going. I mean, I don't know of any other group of people that are like that. Everybody looks out for each other. You know, everybody's like, prime example, Chili. Of course, Chili is the infamous, you know, it's not War Machine Weekend until he's passed out drunk. And I found his glasses laying on the floor. I didn't really know Chili that well, but I knew who he was and knew they were his. Held on to him for, you know, the night. They said, Gonzo's got your glasses. Hey, Gonzo, you got my glasses? I'm like, yeah, here you are, buddy. He's like, thanks, I appreciate that. That's just kind of the atmosphere. It's such a good, there's so much love in that area.
Yeah, so absolutely. So everyone that's listening, War Machine Weekend, if you don't know what it is, you can find it on Facebook. It's the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of November. War Machine Weekend. It's so much more than the Invitational. That's one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to Gonzo. It's applicable regardless of your skill in War Machine. And one of the purposes of this podcast is to inspire people. And I guarantee you, coming away from War Machine Weekend, you will be super hyped going into the next con season. So check it out, War Machine Weekend on Facebook. It's really a phenomenal event. And I'll be there. You can hang out with me, hang out with Gonzo. I might bring a bunch of cigars. I own several thousand, so I might. Oh, yeah. A few hundred. So we'll see how that
goes. So you got a good humidor, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I have four. yeah, I've got a really nice one that holds about 100 cigars. There's a travel humo. I might make a variety pack and bring it down there to share them around. So I'll be sure to hold you up, Gonzo. All right, Gonzo, to wrap up, I know you've got more beer to drink. I've got to get back to work real quickly in less than 2 hours. Give me one board game that might be kind of off the radar that people need to check out.
One board game that's off the radar. Damn. And I'm looking around at my board games and I'm trying to figure out. Crap. You got to put me on the spot on this one because I haven't played really a lot of board games lately. I would say if you really want a cool board game that has a lot of stuff in it, Fife. It started as a Kickstarter. You can still find it in a couple of stores, but Fife is a board game that kind of is about building your civilization, marrying off your relatives, and becoming king and queen. It's got a lot of cool stuff with it. Best way to put it, it's like you're running your own kingdom. And you're running your own kingdom, you're trying to make it successful, trying to do things, trying to, you know, do whatever like you want to, but it also has the ability to marry off your kids so you can increase your kingdom and then you can play your kids. It's a really cool board game that I hardly see anybody playing. You can find it online, I'm sure. It's kind of below the radar right now. because it didn't pick off. But it's one of those board games you can't just play in a few hours. This is one of those Twilight Imperium type board games. So you've got to have a lot of good time.
Do you play Twilight Imperium 4?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I might have to.
I own like 200 board games.
I've got your beat on board game ownership, yeah. Not bragging. I'm just under 400 right now, but we might.
Oh, my God.
We might have to have a non-war machine weekend get together and grind through some board games.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I go to tournaments and I get store credit, I play board games with the store credit if I win. And I mean, like Sentinel Tactics is another great board game. There are so many good board games. That's like really hard. You put me on the spot. But yes, definitely have some good board game time.
Absolutely.
It's a good social time too.
It is. It's a great way to know people. I love bringing like small party games to conventions. Like it's easy to bust out.
Oh yeah.
I've been playing Insider lately. Deep Sea Adventures is a fun kind of push your luck game. Cloud Nine, things like that. Just small games, light on rules, easy to play with drunk people. So Gonzo, is there anything else we want to go over real quick before we get you off the line? I know you're a busy man.
There's nothing really. I just want to be able to take care of each other out there. That right there is my main concern about life and everything in general, is just look after each other. But yeah, that's my big take, is look after each other, guys. That's super important right now.
Absolutely. Well, Gonzo, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow along with Gonzo's podcast, More Than Dice, on Facebook. That's More Than Dice Podcast. You can also look for Gonzo at War Machine Weekend and at the Midwest Miniature Madness, which again, Midwest Miniature Madness M3 is coming up the 22nd of June. They still have tickets. Get a sweet chance to go to War Machine Weekend to qualify for the Invitational, or honestly, just go out there, have a great time, meet up with Gonzo and meet up with myself. Gonzo, thank you so much for coming on Tangential. It was really enjoyable. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Oh, I'm going to have an awesome day. You too, man.
And that wraps up today's episode of Tangential with Sung Soo. Be sure to follow me on Facebook at CO Wargaming to never miss a beat. You can also follow me on Twitter at Sung Soo, TSEUNGTSU. I'd like to thank Gonzo for coming on the show. Also, a big shout out to Muse on Minis for hosting all my forays into the podcasting world. I'd love to hear from all of you. What do you love? What do you hate? What can I do better? Maybe you even have an idea and want to be on the pod yourself. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I hope you found this podcast educational, entertaining, and inspiring. Till next time, cheers.